You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Lisa Blaisdell, and we talk about her starting over at the age of 54. Lisa shares the story of her exploding like a volcano after decades of built-up resentment in her marriage to, in her words, a good guy. If you're new to my world and you don't already know this about me, you might not know that I've actually spent a lot of time talking to people about family dynamics, including step-parenting, blended family, and divorce. So I asked Lisa about the good, the bad, the why for the divorce, the why now for the divorce, and the why not before. All the things, you guys. The fastest growing age group for divorce right now in the United States is what we call gray divorce. And they call it the gray from the silver hairs of the people who are getting divorced. I know that there are people out there listening who are very curious about this. So if you're ready, I'm ready. Let's get to it. Lisa Blaisdell, welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. Are you ready for a chat?
I am ready, Amy. Thank you so much.
Oh, I'm happy you're here. I'm ready for this too. Okay, so I start almost every interview asking my guests where they call home. So where is it that you live on our big blue marble?
Right now, and happily, I am in a beach town in North San Diego County named Encinitas, California.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. All right. That's great. So next question, before we hit the topic of the day, share with me in the audience, just to get to know you a little bit better, something about you, a hobby, a pastime, a passion project that isn't family and isn't work.
I love to walk in nature.
Oh, very nice. So do you walk on the beach then, or is that the nature?
I walk on the beach. Yep. Yep. Lots of nature trails, lots of hiking. Really, I just love to be outdoors and love to be in this beautiful planet of ours.
Very cool. Well, you're in one of the most beautiful places. Like, yes, year-round great weather, all those things. Very, very nice. All right, so topic of the day, you proposed starting over, divorce at age 54. Are you ready to share that story?
Sure, absolutely. There was a precursor, and I may have to move myself in a second. There's a precursor to my divorce, and that was that I first walked away from a business that I had built from scratch. I had partnered with a health and wellness company in the early 2000s, and I walked away from that company after 17 years and walked away from a very strong six-figure income, relationships, friendships, where I was loved, I was popular, I was accepted. And I walked away, made a decision in the middle of COVID. It was a hard decision. It was at the time the hardest decision that I had made as an adult. And that change, that putting down the people pleasing, dealing with the aftermath of that, a lot of people were not happy with that decision of mine. That was the catalyst for me to really be honest with myself. And that's what I think this process requires when you're in the driver's seat, the way that I was. And to have the honest conversation that I was not happy. COVID forced us all to take a look at things.
Sure.
And, you know, I was building a new business and my husband at the time was, you know, engaging in behaviors that were not aligned with where I wanted to go in this next chapter of mine. And, you know, we had had a beautiful life, a beautiful family. You know, we raised two daughters together. We, you know, on the outside looked picture perfect, and we were a great family and we are a great family. And yet when I was looking ahead to this next chapter, you know, my youngest had gone away to college and, you know, my oldest was finding her footing and figuring out what she was going to do. I mean, I had to ask myself the question, is this the right place for me to be in this next chapter of my life? And, you know, I knew deep down what the answer was. And yet really being honest with myself was the hardest part, because once that honest conversation goes on within yourself, I'm an action taker, was like, I couldn't just live with this truth, you know, and I had to be true to myself. And that's not always easy for women to do because we're raised to make others happy and to live these roles and to accept things for what they are. And I had a good husband. He's a good man. He's a good father. He's a good provider. And he is a good human. He is a good human. So when you're in that position, you know, there was no abuse. There was no, you know, there was nothing glaring that made my decision easy. And that's why it was so hard. And I knew a lot of people would be upset about it. So I had to wrestle with all of that. But I also knew that in addition to my own happiness, I knew he wasn't happy, even though he wasn't willing to admit it. He wasn't happy. And my daughters were watching me show up not at my best self. And they were watching what they thought was a normal, healthy relationship.
Right. You were the example. I'm going to interrupt because I'm going to back it up a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm going to back it up. You have obviously told this story so many times that you just gave like a masterclass in like what was probably a several year process, but I'm going to back it way up and walk you through it because people will be listening to this who are in all different stages of their relationship. And one of the things, or whatever's going on in their life, one of the things that I like to do when I talk to people about a relationship end is I like to back them up and talk about the beginning of the story, right? Mm-hmm. Because when we only talk about the end, that's just a piece of the story. It's hard for people we're just looking at a snapshot, which is one of the challenges of divorce. It's a snapshot of a day of where it is,
yes.
right?
Yes.
So how old were you guys when you guys met and when you got married, and maybe do you like remember something about the beginning of the relationship to share with us?
Sure. I mean, I was 23 when I met him. I had just moved to Southern California. I was pretty much on my own, and I'm from the East Coast originally. And he was 30. He was
a okay. Little bit of an
ready.
Age gap.
Yeah. Little bit. He was very ready to settle down. He had really, you know, sowed his oats and got everything out of his system. And I don't know if I quite had yet, but, you know, the timing was okay. And I was resistant initially. Just there was some, you know, couple of things that I saw that didn't really quite match up. But he's a good human and a good person and treated me well and, you know, was very comfortable in the friendship that we were building. And I felt okay enough to take steps forward. And I also felt the pressure that, all right, well, you know, I'm 25, you know, I think I was almost 24 when I met him. And it was like, well, I'm 24, I'm 25, probably time, you know, there really wasn't anything else going on that was really pulling on me. I was very focused on my career and building a career. And, you know, we shared values. We were from similar backgrounds and had a good work ethic. And there were some things that, you know, I kind of questioned, but it wasn't enough for me to walk away. And
was it, was there passion? Was there like a
not
strong
particularly, one? Not particularly, okay. Like not what I know to be passion now, but, I mean, enough,
okay.
You know, and I just think that I didn't know myself, certainly the way I know myself now. But I knew what I was doing at the same
yeah.
time. I wasn't making a major mistake. There wasn't like red flags screaming at me at all. There was a little bit here and there that I was like, well, we'll work on that. You know, I was still very young and thought, oh, I'll fix that. You know,
right.
That's
No,
what a
yeah.
lot of people, you know,
25. Think. Well, I tell a similar story about the beginning of my relationship. And I'm still married, but I tell people, I'm like, I proceeded into this situation with the confidence that you can only have at 25 years old. It's like, I'm nice, they're nice, this is great. What could go wrong? So
right.
When I ask that question, I say it with zero judgment because it's an unfair question to ask people about would they make a different decision if they were to go back in time, because
right.
You didn't know what you know now, and you
correct.
Can't, right?
That's exactly right.
So you met when you were like 23, 24, you get married, you build a life together. You have
yeah.
a family of two
yeah.
daughters
yeah, we have
and two daughters, and you stay married until they're adults.
Yeah. Yep.
Until they're adults. All right. So, and So, and you would you say that this is a traditional relationship in the terms of like when you guys were married, everything like finances and everything like that was all mixed together. Like when you
Oh,
were
yeah.
getting divorced, it was a full separation because, you know, it's there's a it's hard it's a lot. We call it enmeshed. You're like
Yes.
totally
Oh,
enmeshed
yeah.
with each other,
Oh, yeah.
like
There's layers and layers and layers.
layers and layers. So how many years were you guys married when you
27.
27 years. All right. That's 27 bazillion layers of entanglement. All right. So I think you said earlier that you were in the driver's seat. And so I think you mean that you were the one who said, I think we should talk about splitting this up. And and you talked a little bit about your motivation in what is maybe the kindest description of a divorce that I have heard lately. People don't get divorced because things are going really, really well. That's
No,
just
they don't.
not why they do it. So, you were not happy. Can you give us a little bit more of what was going on in your mind that was creating this divide that was big enough that you were willing to say, I'm willing to go through the work to pull apart all of these layers of entanglement?
Well, to make it about me and not put blame, I
Right.
really
Good
took
point.
on, yeah, I took on a lot. I really was living this marriage in a very masculine energy kind of a place. I'm a go-getter, I'm a doer, and I'm a recovering control freak. And I kind of ran the show, and I made very big decisions for us and, really led our family, if I'm being completely honest. And after, decades or so of doing that and navigating decisions around our kids and education and what I felt was best for them. And, it wasn't like he didn't have any voice, but I think we built up this pattern over time. And it was like, I was going to kind of call the shots. And I chose a partner that would be okay with that for a reason, right?
Right,
Like
okay.
subconsciously, I didn't pick someone that was going to fight me on things. And so, over the decades of me running the show and calling the shots and being the one that does pretty much everything from planning vacations to remodeling the house to, running around the kids, picking the dog, I picked the house, I picked it all. I was tired. I was really tired. And, again, not to put blame, but I did build up a very significant amount of resentment. And, that's a kind of natural byproduct of me people pleasing and not being as aware of the patterns that I had created and just really being tired of doing
Yeah.
this and being in a new phase of my life and wanting things to be different and wanting to be cared for in a way that it wasn't possible because was a muscle that had never been built inside of our relationship.
Right, so let me give you some words and see if this matches up to what you are experiencing. Domestic workload. Like, so division of domestic workload inside the house. You were calling the shots inside the house, anything that was happening, kids' schedule, navigating their schools, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and he did physical stuff like
Sure.
drove kids, was an active father for sure.
Okay.
So it wasn't like he was a deadbeat on the couch. And that's where I think a lot of the communication breakdown happened is because he felt that he was doing what he was supposed to be doing, but he wasn't seeing the layers
The
that I
emotional. The
right. And
emotional
I
workload and
emotional, it was the emotional support that I needed. And by the time I had the skill set to communicate those needs, it was too late because the disconnect had just gotten too big.
all right, so I'm going to come back to that in a second. This is a really, really common occurrence in relationships. And to be honest, I don't know if you know this about me. So I do mentoring and coaching for step parents because I was a step parent before I was a parent.
I was
And
raised by a step-parent. I love that you do that.
oh, thank you. It's a thing. And along the way, one of the things I did is I picked up a family mediator skill set so that I knew what that was about. I'm gonna offer after having like a bazillion of these conversations with people. I don't think we particularly do a great job of training our kids in getting ready for the nuts and bolts of running a house with a partner. And
They do not.
Some people really do learn it from their homes, right? So I will never forget, like, so I have a relative who's from a very big family, and I remember standing in their kitchen and looking at how organized they were for like meal planning. I was like, oh my gosh, where did you learn how to do this? And she's like, this is the way my mom did it. And I was like, oh, well, there you go. But for most of us, we weren't paying any attention to what our parents were doing. And so we don't know. And then I think many, many people end up in that experience where like, I don't know if it's supposed to be this hard and I don't know any other way to do it. And you're definitely learning while you fly the plane. Like you are flying the plane and building it at the same time.
Yes.
And so, you know, everybody's scrambling because family life is messy.
Yes.
Family life is messy. You know,
it absolutely is.
Right? Like, I mean, you know, and it's, and you don't have any time to be like, you know, hurry, catch up. So how did you, so you were living this experience where you had growing resentment and you felt like you were working a lot and not being rewarded enough for it. It sounds like also there was a shift or an inequality in the sort of desire, romance, passion part of your marriage that you were maybe not feeling totally fulfilled.
I mean, and I think that's
woman.
A byproduct of the emotional disconnect is that you just truly disconnect in all ways. And, you know, we, like many families, put the emphasis on kids and our work and just the constructs of, you know, getting these kids launched and doing the best we can. And I ran a business all those years and he had a big corporate job and traveled. And, you know, it was just, and this is, I mean, I know you know this, this is so common. Like you just forget each other and you forget. And we didn't ever really have something that was so incredible and so special and so dynamic that we could get back there because it was just, it was good enough. It was fine, but it wasn't enough for us to go back and say, we got to go get back what we had because it was so amazing. We didn't really ever have that. And that's okay too.
When you were found yourself in that spot where you were getting ready to say that out loud, like we didn't have it, we can't get it back. When you're having those thoughts, how did you feel like about yourself?
Well, I was in a big stage of denial for a while because I really didn't want to admit that I had gotten to this place because it would mean the deconstructing of so much. And, you know, like many families, we had layers and layers and layers of community and family and relationships and kids. And it just felt too much for me for a long time. I mean, probably 10 years, I sat with thoughts that I would constantly try to push down. I remember I would just go upstairs at night and take a bath. We had a really beautiful, you know, whirlpool tub, and I would just try to lose myself. And these thoughts would come up and I'd have to keep them at bay. And I did that for a while. I'm pretty strong when I need to be, but, and I share my story very honestly because this is why I love to help women before it gets to this point. I mean, it got to a point where there was no conversation. There was no planning of, you know, here's what I'm feeling. I mean, I had tried, but it really wasn't very well received. And there was a real resistance and element of denial, which is also very common in the work that I do now. The men are just like, they are like completely clueless, which is part of the problem, by the way. That when it really just came down to it, I tell the story, I was like a volcano and it was just like all the rumbling inside and it was just rumbling for a really long time. And then it just, I exploded. And
so
I just
you
kind of
talked a little bit about this. I'm going to have you tell the story of the explosion in a second, but what were your, when you were going through these thoughts and you were having doubts and you were pushing them down for years, you were in denial, as you say. What were the fears and what were the obstacles that you can see now? I don't expect that you saw them as fears and obstacles necessarily then, although maybe. But what were the things that were the, at the time they would have been, this is not, you know, this is not the time for this. This is not something I can do because
I'm afraid of these. First of all, my girls and where they were at with their lives. And, you know, they had their own challenges that they were navigating, and how will they be if any of this were to happen, which they're always my priority. And quite frankly, how's my husband going to be? I didn't feel that he had the skill set or the just the strength to navigate this, and for a while he didn't. And he has experienced a lot of loss in his family, and during that season he lost his older brother. He had already lost both of his parents, so I was really just feeling a lot of guilt around that, and just also being another,
Responsibility.
yeah, and also having another loss for him. And just things like my parents and my siblings, and which they none of them live near me, but so there was an element of confusion because nobody saw what was happening inside of our home. Nobody, and I say this to women all the time, nobody's inside your marriage, nobody knows really what's going on. And so I knew that there would be a lot of just confusion and disapproving, which I didn't
And
want
did
to
that
let.
happen? Did you get
There was
resistance?
confusion for sure, and I think there was some sadness, but I mean, I really am so thankful. I have wonderful parents, and they had to navigate it. I know that they probably wished it wasn't happening at the time, but they accepted it. And there's a lot of divorce in my family, and so this was not new. This was not new territory. We're not particularly religious, so I didn't have to deal with any of that. Thankfully, but friends, community, so I thought about all of that, and I love my home, and that's a big part of my story too.
Attachment to the house.
I did not want to leave my home. Really thought that was going to go a different way than it did, and
Yeah, it's one of the, it's one, I'm
it's a
not, I
lot.
don't, yeah, I don't do, I do, I use my mediation stuff just to help families. I don't do divorce mediation, but it is one of the things that I read about all the time that people say, they advise, they're like, it can become an obstacle to be fixated on staying in the
Oh,
house.
for sure.
And so, would you say, I was listening to you describe those things and you were talking about the kids. Would you say there is a phrase when we talk about, marriages and things like that, which is staying together for the children? Would you say that that was a piece of what you were doing?
Sure. Yeah, because why disrupt their life? They were kind of used to us the way we were.
And it is disruptive. Divorce is not not an easy peasy process. It
No.
is disruptive. Okay, so I'm going to ask you a question. All right, so you can share with, so you get to the point where you explode. I have like a mental vision of I have this mental vision of somebody saying something to you like, "Pass the salt," and you just explode in like the kitchen. But like, what sort of happened? Like how did it happen?
So, because I was in a state, I was running a business. I was
Yeah, there was a lot of change happening in your
a
life.
lot of change. I was building a business. I was also doing another side business where I was like teaching people how to make video. So I was busy doing that. We started remodeling our house in 2020 in the middle of COVID. So it was a very long, drawn out process because obviously, things were slow. Still doing that in early 2021. And it had gotten to the point, Amy, where I was like, let's just redo the whole floors. And like without even telling him, I like completely had this whole plan of our floors getting reddone.
Which means you're moving out.
I moved out.
Yeah,
Moved
you
out.
cannot. That's the thing about redoing the floors. Everything comes out of the house. I've only done it one time, and
I
it was
rented
before I
an
moved in.
Airbnb. It was this little Airbnb down the street. I took our dog and I was so happy. And I was like, oh, I love this. He was like, I'm not coming here. I need to stay home with the contractors. I was like, good. And so he had like kind of had it too. I mean, I was really being ridiculous and, just sort of ordering these contractors around, and we just weren't on the same page. And he was getting upset, and rightfully so. I was spending all this money, and it was really, honestly, I was quite reckless for being as solid as I can be. I was quite reckless, and we just kind of got into it, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I was like, I'm done. Like, I can't do this anymore. I'm done. And I don't really think he knew what that meant because I didn't know what it meant. Neither one of us knew what it meant. And I went for a drive, and I went to the beach, and I thought, I actually really think I'm done. And I was leaving for a trip from Miami, and I was going to be gone for like 6 days. And I said, when I get back, I want you to be gone. Like, like I'm ready to separate. And he just did not know what to do with that. And so he, for the first time in our 30-year relationship, he said no. He said no, I'm not doing that.
That's I always love it in TV and movies when when people have a fight and one person's like, you need to leave. And then the other person does leave. 'Cause in real life, when you get into a fight and you're like, you need to leave, some of the time that person's like, no. And then you're like, well, okay, well now what? No, I have to leave. Okay, so so real life is not always like TV. So, all right. So I live in Miami. So you flew, you came and hung out on the beaches in South Beach,
I
and
was at
you were
South Beach. I was at a conference. I was with my colleagues. I was with my very dear friend, who's still a dear friend. She was the only one who knew what was going on. Nobody knew what was going on. And, my daughter was texting me. She's like, "Dad's moving furniture. What's going on with you two?" It was a really stressful week. I got violently ill. I got some kind of a stomach thing because I was under so much
So much
stress.
stress, yeah.
And it was a very scary time. I didn't know what I was going to fly home to. And I flew home to, a spouse that had basically moved to the downstairs part of our house into the guest room, moved everything, involved neighbors. So now people knew. So I was starting to get texts like, what's going on? And, it was not handled well.
Well, you say that as if there is some secret great way to handle this.
I know. Well, there are, and there are
There are
people who
better
can
ways,
do
for
it,
sure.
but it's, listen, I don't make any excuses for it. I wasn't at my best. And if I could change any part of that process, I would change it, but you can't change the
It's
past.
done.
So,
You can't change the past.
it happened. And then we just kind of came home and settled into a separated state.
Okay. And then you settled into a separated state. You were still under the same roof. Divorce is not an instant process, so it took some time.
No,
So this
no.
is kind of a weird question, but I think it, what is, do you have anything as you went through this process, the long process, is there anything that anybody said to you that was particularly ridiculous or unhelpful as you were going through this? Yeah, like we could call this, we could put this under the category of things maybe not to say to your friends when you find out they're getting a divorce. What's something crazy that somebody said might
I
have
mean,
said
a
to you?
few of them were like, "Well, have you gone to counseling?" Which we had been in counseling for 6 years, unbeknownst to most people, off and on for 6 years. And so yes, we had been working on things. And some of the real ringers were, "Well, have you gone to a Christian counselor?" I was like, okay, sure. That whole thing just completely turned me off. Have you gone to church? That whole thing. And I was like, okay, yeah, we're not praying our way out of this, people.
There are people, I mean, they're just, listen, I'm not recommending this for anybody, but it is definitely a thing. If everybody in the relationship agrees, right, that the covenant of the marriage is that you never leave, then you're never going to leave. If everybody agrees to follow it, that
That's
is the way to do it. What's missing in there is be happy about it. So, that's why one of my jokes is I was like, we don't need to ask the priest what he thinks about if we should get divorced. We know what he's going to say. It's in the book, It's in the book, right?
Yeah, and some people, "Well, my parents went through something hard and like they worked it out," and well, good for them. And it's okay. I mean, listen, everyone was uncomfortable, right? Like, this. People get very uncomfortable. And we looked like a really healthy, fully functioning, successful family. And so we kind of shocked our little community. That's, what my boyfriend calls Pleasantville. I mean, it's Pleasantville where I my girls. And there's a lot of Pleasantvilles around the world. And we lived in one of those communities, and everybody looked good, and everybody's kids were doing great things, and everybody was just checking all these boxes, and we were like, we're not doing that. And it was scary for people. I think a lot of couples through those months where they were learning about us, they were supportive, but they were like, oh God, if that can happen to them, what about us?
It's the
What
reason
about
it's
us?
scary. It shows a potential. Absolutely. Okay,
Yes.
so you go through this, and you are part of, if you did this at 54, you are part of the fastest growing demographic in divorce in the United States. We call these gray divorces, silver
Gray
divorces, gray
divorces. Yeah.
divorces.
Yeah.
Always trip up on that. Like it could be silver. It could also be silver, but we're
I
calling them
know.
gray divorces. What has share with us, because you're through it, share with
Yep.
us what has changed for you, for better or worse, to use the wedding terms, in your
Yes.
life as a result of the divorce.
Well, let's see. I'm on great terms with my ex. I mean, not great, good. I'd say good terms. We've both moved on and have our amazing, I met the most amazing human that's so aligned with me, and that was very unexpected. I did not care about that when I was going through that. I knew that I was rolling the dice, and that was another thing that people said to me is, "Well, you might be alone." I'm like, "And like, I'm okay.
Right,
Like,
you
I've
were
been with
ready for that.
someone for a long time. I'm okay." And I've just been on an adventure of moving. We moved to Los Angeles for 2 years. I lived in that wild and crazy town. And, I feel like I've entered into menopause now. Believe it or not, I wasn't full on when I got my divorce. And I just feel like I know myself at a level that I never would have if I had stayed within that relationship, because I had to really just stand on my own 2 feet for the first time, really, in my life.
Okay.
I am very strong and I am very resilient, but it was a very tough initial adjustment to being inside of this, very secure entity that made me feel safe. And even though I wasn't happy anymore, it's very comfortable. And I had to radically get out of my comfort zone. And
Which is
that
hard.
was hard. It was
It's
hard.
very hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not an expert on this to be able to like give, a lot of really great facts, but it's very hard to overcome the comfort. Like there's a significant
Yes.
amount of research that not
Yeah.
just in relationship, but kind of in everything. Like we're more
Yes.
likely to buy the same pair of shoes
Yes.
again than to
Yes.
try something we've never done before. We're more likely to
Yes.
order the same thing on a restaurant menu if we
Oh, totally.
know, right?
Yes. Yes. So
So
I've
that's a big
radically
thing
did
to
that.
overcome. Yeah, no,
Yeah.
absolutely. Okay, so in a minute, we're going to do the final questions, but I do
Okay.
want to give you a chance to talk about what you're doing now because you said you were in the health and wellness space. I might have messed that up at the beginning. There was maybe a business in between, and now you have a business that I think is totally, and I don't know, I'd like, so tell us what you do and how people can find you.
So about 18 months ago, women started coming to me kind of quietly and saying, "How did you do this? Can you help me? I want to do something similar." And, I just decided to put a shingle out on my roof and say, I can help women with this particular niche. I'm not trauma trained. I don't have a formal, background. I'm very honest. I'm not a therapist. But I'm a woman who's walked down this road. I was
Yeah.
married to a good human. I made the choice to leave. It wasn't horrible. Like, no one was hurting me. And there's so many women like this,
Yep.
so many women like this. And so I help them. I validate how they're feeling. I help them put together an initial plan because most of them don't know what to do. They're stuck in their fears and their overwhelms. Because of my background in leadership development and personal development, I have a lot of mindset coaching that I help them with, because so much of this is helping them retrain their brains to get uncomfortable for a season, right? And so I do a lot of private coaching. I also have a course that they can navigate on their own without me, because so many women are even afraid to talk to someone,
Yep.
even a stranger, right? Because then that means it's out loud. It's out loud. Like, my unhappiness is now out loud. What am I going to do about it? And I started group coaching this year, which is actually my favorite thing, because I love to bring women together. And I was very alone in my divorce. Nobody was going through it. I had some women that had done it in their 40s, but it was very different. And yeah, I love to bring women in community, and I love these women. And so I'm on my second round, and we go through an 8-week program and just really helping them unpack their guilt and their fears. And we talk about money, and they lean on each other while they're,
Yeah.
being supported in this container. And so I really feel that, I mean, a coach helped me kind of, get unstuck and make some very important decisions. And she now really deals with high conflict, very trauma-based scenarios. And so I wanted to fill this gap that I felt was out there in terms of helping women that are not in this trauma-filled space, but have a very significant decision to make. And the backdrop for me, and I know you probably see a lot, is that I want this to be as amicable as it can be. And yes, it's bumpy when you're in the process, but I had a vision early on that my now ex-husband and I could be at our daughters' graduations and weddings, and we probably are repartnered with other people, and yet we can still, love each other and be kind to each other and be happy that we had this time in our life, and yet have different lives. And we do, we have that. And I'm really proud of that.
It's a beautiful thing. So we call this divorce coaching, I think that's what I would call it, right? So divorce coaching, it is a thing. Most people don't know what the components are that go into a divorce. People immediately, they know about the lawyers, they know about the mediators, they don't know about the accountants always.
Yes.
And all
I
of the
feel you need a
people,
team. I feel
you
you
need a
need a team.
team. And what you're providing, which is really, really nice, is you're starting from, I think this is really important. This is one of the through lines of the show, and one of the reasons that I'm creating this is that I think we overvalue the work of professionals like doctors and lawyers, right? They're very, very important, but they don't actually necessarily always have lived experience. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, right? And then we undervalue the advice that comes from people with lived experience. We push them off to the side and we don't prioritize them. But
It's
in a
true.
situation like this, where you're going through something and you are unable to imagine what your life will be like at the end, you are somebody who's standing up and saying, I'm not a high conflict divorce. I'm not this, but I'm here to show you what we build after, as you can borrow my sense of possibility, right? Like borrow me as an example. And I think that that's really great. And I'm glad you're doing it. I'm glad you're here to share it with everybody. You have a special offer for the audience, which is a free midlife journal to help women start the honest conversation with themselves, an easy way to answer questions about your life, how happy you truly are, and if you're longing for change. And we have a link where they can download that. The value of that is $30. That's a very generous gift. I want to say thank you for sharing that. I also love that we're talking about divorce and you're offering something that has the words happy in it, because that's not normally where we start. But it is where we most of us want to end up. And I have not gone through a divorce. I just hang out with people. My husband was divorced before we were married. My parents were divorced. So, and I have that. So,
Well, listen, congratulations. I think listen, I think it's great when people can keep going through the seasons of life. And I root for all of these people because it's admirable that you can stay connected and grow and evolve as individuals and as a couple.
it is,
It's
it's very, it's like, so it's
admirable.
coming in as a step parent, and doing all these things. So I've done step kid weddings and graduations and all of those things. And it is, you see both sides of it. This is not like a, I'm not, this is not, a, we live in the real world. So you see people who have very contentious relationships, who are out there, who are really struggling with it. You see people with really bad situations. But that's, if you can do it on purpose, and do it with intention, and not be stepping all over each other, then that's easier for everybody, much more fun. So the link for your offer will be in the show notes for everybody who's listening. And the easiest way for the listeners and the people who are watching to get it is to be subscribed to the email group at imperfectadulting.com, because then I send it straight to your email. You just click on it. Easy peasy. So, Lisa, are you ready for the final questions?
I'm ready.
Let's do it. When you think of your parents and the advice that they gave you as a kid, what's the first bit of advice that they gave you that comes to mind? Like, just when you think about them and advice, what comes to mind first? And then as an adult, would you now say that that was good or bad advice?
Well, I don't know if they gave me advice per se, but they led by example, which is just to, stay grounded and do your best.
Okay.
Stay grounded and do your best. And that is what I try to do every day.
So we're going to
Stay
put that in the
grounded.
category of good advice. I love it. All right, very good. So this question is either going to be fabulous or a total flop. We're going to see. Thought it was fun when I wrote it. Did you go to prom in high school? And if you did, do you remember the name of the person you went with?
Oh, easily. I absolutely did. And I went with my boyfriend, and he's a twin, and they called them A and B. I swear to God. And I went with A.
Right, and if somebody else went with B?
Somebody else went with B.
And
Yes.
do you have like a photo with the twins and the two dates?
I don't know if I have one of those, but I definitely have pictures with A.
Okay. All right, is that very good? All
That
right,
funny?
now here we go. So, what is the worst movie you think you've ever seen in your entire life?
No, there's been some bad ones. I'm not a fan of all the shoot 'em up explosion
Okay.
things. I don't know if I should name if I can name one because I
You just
tend
put
to
him
forget
on.
the ones. Yeah, I tend to
Okay.
forget the ones I don't like. But that kind of a theme never really does it for me.
Okay, very good. That's it. Lisa Blaisdell, thank you very much for being a wonderful guest today on the show.
Thank you so much, Amy. This was a great conversation. I so appreciate the time, and I'm really looking forward to connecting with you more.
Yeah. Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again. Please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adultier adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.